When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. The Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of Swish and Flick, live from Wizardly World of Kent 2024!
Perfect.
I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Kate.
And this episode is sponsored by Alyssa Bettendorf. Thank you, Alyssa.
Thanks, Alyssa.
All right. So for those of you who are brand new to our podcast, we are currently in our reread of the Harry Potter series. It's a book club style. It used to be chapter by chapter episodes, but then, you know, some episodes and chapters are quite long, and so things were getting split. So sometimes chapters are in thirds.
Are the chapters long, or we just don't know how to stop talking?
I think it's a mix. So right now, we are on Deathly Hallows, so it only seems fitting that we discuss the story within the story that gives Harry Potter so much grief-ish there towards the end, causes him to have a sort of obsession. And today, we are going to be discussing the tale of the three brothers from the Tales of Beedle the Bard.
So make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform like Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast. And you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish and Flick Podcast.
Perfect. All right. Well, let's start out by getting to know the Bard himself. Woo! Was Beedle the Bard. So according to the internet and the author, a 15th century English wizard and author of wizarding fairy tales, Beedle was born in Yorkshire, England, and at some point in his life wrote the Tales of Beedle the Bard. Beedle wrote in ancient runes, which were later translated to English. And I think Hermione's copy of the Tales of Beedle the Bard had a lot of ancient runes, which is why the Deathly Hallows symbol that was drawn in there by Dumbledore kind of went amiss by the Ministry of Magic when they were reviewing these items left in Dumbledore's will.
She should see how much that would go for on eBay.
What's Wizarding eBay called?
Oh, man.
Whizway?
No, not Whizway.
Weebay. Why not Whizway? I'm like, pee, huh?
Yeah.
This is Whizway to the Whiz Palace. There's a lot of toilet humor in the books. It's fine. If you were like me, you're like, well, maybe I didn't read a lot of Shakespeare. What's a bard, right? A bard is a poet / singer skilled in composing and reciting verses on heroes and their deeds. So in our podcast, we like to talk about name origins or etymology, or if you're a Swish and Flick listener, etymology is what we call it. So the etymology of Beedle, it's an English name, occupational name for a medieval court official from Middle English, and it's also reinforced by Old French called Bidem, maybe. My accent might not be
that. That's his name, though.
Bidem. Zibidel. The word is of ancient Germanic origin, kind of akin to a word meaning to command and messenger in Old High German. I looked that up on the internet, so it must be true. So Beedle took his stories as an indicator of his opinions, kind of. He seemed to have held Muggles in higher esteem than most of his contemporaries with these stories. Also valued traits such as kindness, common sense, and ingenuity. So Beetle the Bard wrote fairy tales, kind of like how the Muggles also have fairy tales. I think Ron thought Cinderella was an illness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you would know, Ron.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Beetle stories are resembled after like Muggle fairy tales in much respects. So a fun fact about this, though the real edition in question contains only 5 tales, as detailed like earlier on this page that I'm looking at, the author initially intended there to be as many as 30 tales for Beetle the Bard before shrinking it back, because that's pretty daunting for an author to be writing this final series and then have to also write 30 tales for a book within a book that they're writing.
Is that the evolution of 9 tales?
Yes. Pokemon jokes. So it's possible that there are these 25 other tales out there that are fully written that we can maybe get someday. And that is that source was a podcast episode and an interview with the author.
Podcast within a podcast.
It is a podcast. It's a podcast. So this quote is from MuggleNet. So the tale of the three brothers, which is included in its entirety in Deathly Hallows, we get that read by Hermione with some inserts from Ron, was inspired by Dr. Tosser's The Partner's Tale from the Canterbury Tales. So that's a little Muggle connection for you as well.
And we totally plan on breaking that down sometime soon. That'll be a fun episode.
Shout out to Carrie, she'll be on it.
Yeah,
English teachers night. Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you the tale of the three brothers.
Get cozy, my friends.
Get it, Emma Watson.
There were once three brothers who were traveling along a lonely, winding road at twilight.
Midnight, Emma Watson.
Twilight is good.
What?
Team Edward or
wait,
Jacob.
Yeah.
Which
team?
Are they here?
No.
Charlie
Swan.
It's too sunny.
Team Edward.
This
is the
skin
of a killer, Bella.
Way too sunny.
Look at that.
You are sparkling.
I know. That's great. Sorry to interrupt you in your first sentence.
Not actually sorry.
That was like on
brand. Okay. In time, the brothers reached a river too deep to wade through and too dangerous to swim across. However, these brothers were learned in the magical arts, and so they simply waved their wands and made a bridge appear across the treacherous water. They went halfway across it when they found their path blocked by a hooded figure.
Figure.
And Death spoke to them. He was angry that he had been cheated out of 3 new victims. For travelers usually drowned. Can I use your iPad because mine says it's too hot?
Mine's also on fire, but yes, you may.
It just turned black.
I'll try to cool it down. I don't know how.
Against your hot body.
Yeah. Thanks, Steph.
You are.
And Death spoke to them. He was angry that he'd been cheated out of 3 new victims, for travelers usually drowned in the river. But Death was cunning. He pretended to congratulate the three brothers upon their magic and said that each had earned a prize for having been clever enough to evade him. So the oldest brother, who was a combative man, asked for a wand more powerful than any in existence, a wand that must always win duels for its owner, a wand worthy of a wizard who had conquered Death. So Death crossed to an elder tree on the banks of the river, fashioned a wand from a branch that hung there, and gave it to the oldest brother. Then the second brother, who was an arrogant man, decided that he wanted to humiliate Death still further and asked for the power to recall others from Death. So Death picked up a stone from the riverbank and gave it to the second brother and told him that the stone would have the power to bring back the dead. And then Death asked the third and youngest brother what he would like. The youngest brother was the humblest and also the wisest of the brothers, and he did not trust Death. So he asked for something that would enable him to go forth from that place without being followed by Death. And Death, most unwillingly, handed over his own cloak of invisibility. Then Death stood aside and allowed the three brothers to continue on their way. And they did so, talking with wonder of the adventure they had had and admiring Death's gifts. In due course, the brothers separated, each to his own destination. The first brother traveled on for a week or more, and reaching a distant village, sought out a fellow wizard with whom he had a quarrel. Naturally, with the Elder Wand as his weapon, he could not fail to win the duel that followed. What are you laughing at?
Professor Quirrell.
Whoa!
He didn't like that.
No.
He's back from the dead!
Leaving his enemy... Leaving his enemy dead upon the floor, the oldest brother proceeded to an inn where he boasted loudly of the powerful wand he had snatched from death himself.
Did it die?
It went black again.
Here you go. Wow. Here's a phone.
Oh, ringing around
so
the technology.
Hot.
This thing is on fire. Literally hot.
I'll find my spot, please. Okay. Leaving his enemy dead upon the floor, the oldest brother proceeded to an inn where he boasted loudly of the powerful wand he had snatched from death himself, and of how it made him invincible. That very night, another wizard crept upon the oldest brother as he lay, wine-sodden, upon his bed. The thief took the wand and, for good measure, slit the oldest brother's throat. And so death took the first brother for his own. Meanwhile, the second brother journeyed to his own home, where he lived alone. Here he took out the stone that had the power to recall the dead and turned it thrice in his hand. To his amazement and his delight, the figure of the girl he had once hoped to marry before her untimely death appeared at once before him. Yet she was sad and cold, separated from him as by a veil. Though she had returned to the mortal world, she did not truly belong there and suffered. Finally, the second brother, driven mad with hopeless longing, killed himself so as truly to join her. And so death took the second brother for his own. But though death searched for the third brother for many years, he was never able to find him. It was only when he had attained a great age that the youngest brother finally took off the cloak of invisibility and gave it to his son. And then he greeted death as an old friend and went with him gladly, and equals they departed this life.
I like the throwback to the veil in Order of the Phoenix, because it's just another thing that lets you know, like, it's kind of like doubling down on the veil being the separation
mm-hmm.
of life and death.
Yeah.
Good one, Tiff.
Hey, you know, I've read the books a couple times.
Especially that one.
Yeah, especially that one. How many times have you read it this year?
This year?
Yeah.
Five?
It's like almost once a month.
Yeah, I went back to Half Blood Prince though, just to spice things up a bit.
Okay, so the first thing that we wanted to talk about was the three brothers. The first one being Ignotus Peverell, actually the youngest brother. Fun fact, my Katie's kitty was named Ignotus.
Iggy.
He was the sweetest. So shout out to him. He has. I'll tell it when I get to the other brother.
Okay.
Yeah. So, fun fact, we always name our cats after Harry Potter characters. And his name was Ignotus Peverell, and he was just, like, the best boy.
Yeah.
And he's no longer with us, so just shout out to him in this episode. It's for her because I love him. Anyway. So, Ignotus had the Cloak of Invisibility. So, it's some etymology. One meaning of the word Ignotus is unknown, which would make the name appropriate due to Ignotus's mastery of invisibility and successful concealment from even death.
I love that.
It's also another form of the name Ignatius, which shows up throughout history, such as Ignatius of Loyola or Ignatius of Antioch. Which is interesting because one of the other brothers' names is Antioch.
Yeah.
Ignatius of Antioch's musings on death could link him to Ignotus's etymological origins. Theologically, Ignatius of Antioch considered salvation as one being free from the powerful fear of death.
Mm. That's
so
like mastering death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ignotus may also mean forgiving, strange, unacquainted with, or ignorant of. So the forgiven theory is Christian-based. Ignotus's invisibility cloak may have some similarity to the concept of the garments of salvation and a robe of victory.
Mm-hmm.
And in Christianity, it's suggested that becoming a slave of righteousness leads to holiness and thus eternal life, as opposed to becoming a slave of sin, which leads to death. So the concept of like Jesus' death and resurrection granting forgiveness of sin might be interpreted as the forgiven being granted a garment of salvation and thus defeating death, which is very similar to Ignatius' story.
I love it.
Isn't that cool?
It's very cool.
So the unacquainted theory, we might consider Ignatius as unacquainted with death for a lot longer than he perhaps should have been. However, as the story mentions that he met death, then at the end of his life greeted death as an old friend, he appears to have been acquainted with death for much of his life. Which is a cool theory. And if translating Ignotus as ignorant of, we may take the meaning to refer to Ignotus' ability to hide so that others were ignorant of him.
Right. It's so like so many things of that one name means and they all fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all fit the story really well.
The underlying like Christianity throughout the series is so prevalent.
There's a lot.
And we've talked about it a lot, like diving into that, like
it's really overwhelming to like take up though.
Yeah, you gotta break that down big time.
Yeah.
So the next brother is Cadmus. And this is our newest kitty's name, Cadmus, because he looks just like Ignotus did, and I thought that it was super sweet to name him another Peveril brother. Specifically the one that has the resurrection stone, because he looks so much like his brother.
So it's like a happy wink womp.
Yeah. He is a wild wee kiki.
Personality also matches his brother.
Yeah.
So Cadmus had the resurrection stone. The name Cadmus may have been taken from the legendary ancient Greek Cadmus, founder of the city of Thebes. In the myth, he marries the minor goddess Harmonia, the daughter of Ares. Harmonia later comes into possession of a beautiful necklace, but this item in truth is cursed and causes great pain among Cadmus's descendants, a possible allegory for the resurrection stone, the cause of Cadmus's death, as well as the object of a curse many years later, or possibly like the opal necklace from Borgenberg.
Did give Dumbledore a sick hand, so.
Sick hand.
Sick hand and a ticking clock.
You scared me.
We took the cases off, so maybe they don't overheat as bad. They're on now.
Guess who's who?
Thank you.
Bless you.
Takes a village.
Round of applause for Brandon.
Woo! He hates us right now because we're calling him out.
Oh, yeah, there's a speaker there.
That's the first time.
That tracks big time.
So also worth noting that in Greek myth, Cadmus created life by sowing dragon's teeth into the earth. And this is somewhat ironic when one considers that the resurrection stone he was given or created himself, depending on which theory you want to believe, of the three brothers, brings back the dead, thus creating life in a manner of speaking. And the final fate of the stone is to be buried in the earth and lost, which is exactly what happens with the resurrection stone.
Yep, drops in the forbidden forest. I love sitting next to Tiffany during these things, because like, she makes these little sounds of like her mind
she's
blown.
Like, uh-huh. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh no, anytime we talk about Deathly Hallows, she's just like, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, but just a little bit ago, she sounded like her mind was blown. But we were on vacation one time. And I was like getting ready outside. There was like a sink, whatever. I could hear her in the shower. And she was listening to Deathly Hallows because that's what she does. And I heard a song sound and I was like, oh, she just figured something out.
I did.
And then she came out of the shower and was like,
you guys!
Yes, we're like, you know, like,
yeah,
figure
yeah,
out.
What is it? Like, what
it was
is
a good one.
How do you know?
It was a good one. I can't remember exactly what it was because I don't remember.
It was Deathly Hallows, so we'll get to it eventually.
It was towards the end, so I just haven't noted it in the memory yet.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Katie from Swish and Flick. My wife is a casual couponer, so you know we love getting a great deal. That's why I want to tell you about Mint Mobile. They make it easy to get a wireless phone plan for $15 a month with the purchase of a 3-month plan. Everything about Mint Mobile is easy. Switching to them, their website, and activation. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text. All on the nation's largest 5G network. The longest part is waiting on hold to break up with your old provider. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/swish. That's mintmobile.com/swish. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/swish. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hello, Swishers. I started taking Hormone Harmony because I was feeling a little bit down and off and experiencing some bad sleep quality. Also having cravings and bloating, but now it's easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony. It helps to support hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and it also improves sleep quality and occasional bloating and gas. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SWISH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SWISH for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So the oldest brother is Antioch, and he is the one who got the elder wand. His name may be a reference to the city of Antioch, a chief center of early Christianity. Antioch, how do you say that? Antiochus?
Sure.
Was, among other things, the name of several kings of the Hellenic Seleucid
I don't know what that
Empire.
Is.
The name Antiochus may refer to a number of figures in Greek mythology. A little bit of a theme there throughout all three of the brothers.
It also connects to Ignotus, like you said.
Yeah.
Yep. Or Ignatius.
Mm-hmm. Ignatius of Antioch.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know how you guys have been reading this.
It's hard.
I'm going to try.
The sun is very bright.
Is not our friend.
Mars is bright tonight. Yeah.
Yep. Isn't it like a full moon? Or it was like yesterday?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
That explains love.
So is it tonight?
Mm.
I think so.
All right, I'll have to talk to my boy Remus. All right, let's talk about the Deathly Hallows and their uses that we see throughout the series. So we'll start with the Resurrection Stone. So we see this with Dumbledore. He spends months looking into Voldemort's past, finally able to track down and get the Marvolo family ring, only to discover, whoa, it has the Resurrection Stone in it. Bonus prizes! Even Dumbledore gets tempted, though, which I like that we see that, because, like,
he's
see everything.
So invincible, right? But
right.
Like,
we see everything through Harry's eyes, too. So, like, as Harry discovers more about him, we do, and we see, oh, like, not everyone's perfect, not even Dumbledore.
You know that Horcrux just lulled him into trying to turn that stone.
Oh, yeah.
Or put me on, and you'll see your family again. You know how the locket affected Ron, just kind
yeah.
of... made bigger feelings that, like, he had, like, intrusive thoughts, those
yeah,
baddies,
like,
those
amplifies,
baddies.
Amplifies
yeah.
intrusive thoughts.
Yeah,
yeah,
so this must have lulled Dumbledore to putting the ring on, because he's going to be able to be reunited with his family, because, I mean, he knew what it was, he knew what the Deathly Hallows symbol was, and he knew it wasn't, you know, Mark and the brothers.
But he wanted to see his sister,
sure did.
Which is really sad.
Yeah.
So he puts it on. Immediate curse. You know, like that. Immediately, no.
Immediately
cursed. It would have killed him if it wasn't for Snape. We don't always give a lot of love to Snape on this podcast, but I will in this instance. But it did shorten his lifespan to a year. And after he destroyed the Horcrux, he sealed the stone in the Golden Snitch and made arrangements to have Harry inherit it in his will.
You know, I don't think that he, after he destroyed it as a Horcrux, it began working again as a Hallow. And I don't think he tried to turn that stone. So he realized, I think,
that it wasn't right to bring the dead back in that way for those purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Harry's purposes were different because they were coming to collect him,
yeah,
necessarily. And, you know, I would venture to guess that after it was back to a hallow, he probably immediately put it inside the snitch.
Yeah, I don't think he would have.
Well, it was laying on the counter for a while. He was wearing it. But I think, like, once he figured out what he wanted to do, he put it inside the snitch. But I don't think he tried to turn it.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he got a bad wake-up call.
Yeah.
So Harry does not have the stone for long, and he didn't even realize he had it for as long as he had. And then during that 1 hour ceasefire during the Battle of Hogwarts, he dives into Snape's memories, finally finds out he's the last Horcrux. Sorry, spoilers.
Oh, God! There's spoilers for Deathly Hallows.
And
Muffliata!
And when he walks to his death, he finally opens the snitch. I opened at the close. And he brought his parents, Sirius Black and Remus Lupin, back, wanting his loved ones to be close to him and give him the courage to keep going. And as Tiffany said, they were coming to collect him. It wasn't a selfish act. It was,
yeah,
for strength. And then it has been lost to the forest forever.
However,
Harry just went,
poop. Harry knows where it is.
That's true.
Because Dumbledore asks him via portrait. So could we get a spin-off of Harry going and getting the stone in his brain to people back?
He doesn't have enough emotional trauma.
Will we find out about Lavender Brown? I just want to know.
We find out about Marietta.
Ooh.
The Cloak of Invisibility. We know Dumbledore has it for a little bit and then gives it to Harry. He uses it to get into a lot of trouble at school, like sneaking around at night and out of the castle, eavesdropping. And it's used more properly in the seventh book because the trio legitimately needed it to stay hidden a lot of the time. They broke into the ministry, they broke into Gringotts, they hid Ron when it went to the Lovegoods house, they used it at the Battle of Hogwarts. Not just for, you know, sneaking the Honeydukes. Although that's way more fun.
Definitely more fun.
Mm-hmm. The Elder Wand. According to the wiki, there are 18 possible known masters of the Elder Wand. I won't read them all. And I don't think they're all legit, but...
Is it Jacob's sibling?
Out. The car is right around here.
You know, Harry doesn't know about those 18 people either because he never paid attention in history of magic.
Right? Accurate.
Yeah.
I thought someone was calling us. So let's talk about the Elder Wand, the Wand of Destiny,
the Death Stick.
Dumbledore won it with his defeat of Grindelwald, and under his ownership, it was used a lot more for good. Maybe the first one to do that, because all the other ones kind of seemed like big baddies. He obviously performed some great and pretty cool magic with it. My personal favorite and headcanon is that he repaired Hagrid's wand, hid it in the pink umbrella, so he could still do magic.
Yeah.
And he was disarmed by Draco at the Astronomy Tower, and that's when the wand switched allegiance. Should be Voldemort, but just kidding, he never actually owned it. Sucks to suck, bro.
Possessing the wand isn't enough.
Nope.
The wand chooses the wizard, Harry.
Didn't you listen, Ollivander?
Did not.
Nope.
He did not.
Nope. So Voldemort stole it from Dumbledore's grave, and I've said this on the pod a ton of times, but I just think of Voldemort on YouTube like,
welcome to another unboxing!
That
is
so terrible. But he didn't know that Draco had disarmed Dumbledore. So he thinks Snape was the true owner of the wand since Snape killed Dumbledore. Another spoiler. So many spoilers here. I hope you read the books. Harry took Draco's wand at Malfoy Manor, which made him the master of the Elder Wand. So when he walked to his death in the Forbidden Forest, Voldemort used his own wand on Harry, like Harry's own wand on Harry, with,
yep,
the killing curse.
Mm-hmm.
And when he returned to from the King's Cross limbo, Voldemort cast Cruciatus on Harry's, quote, dead, not dead body. But it didn't do anything to him because the wand refused to act on its own true master. At that point, Harry realized that he is, in fact, the true master of the Elder Wand. And in the final battle between them, Voldemort uses that wand again against him. But Harry gets to use his favorite spell and, you know, save the whole wizarding world, even though everyone tells him to stop using it. So the master of death, which would be one Mr. Potter. So Dumbledore, a quote from him, "You are the true master of death because the true master does not seek to run away from death. He accepts that he must die and understands that there are far, far worse things in the living world than dying."
Mm-hmm.
So Harry did possess all three Hallows and accepted his own death. And even though he didn't physically own every Hallow at the same time, he did physically possess the Elder Wand. He had left the Resurrection Stone behind in the Forbidden Forest, and he used all three directly and indirectly when he let Lord Voldemort kill him. He was wearing the cloak, using the stone, and killed by the wand, which Harry had already won. However, the True Master didn't only unite the Hallows. They must accept that they would die, and when Harry went to his own death willingly, he became the Master of Death, because death never defeated him.
Bingo.
That's pretty cool.
I like it.
Let's just keep in mind that this kid was 17.
Yeah, 17.
What was I doing at 17?
Listening to Good Charlotte?
Yes. Absolutely.
Touring Kent State University?
Yeah! Yeah! Truly, though. Truly, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Deciding to attend Kent State University.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you guys for braving the heat and hanging out with us at Dan Smith Park today. If you would like to follow your hosts on social media, myself and Katie on Instagram and TikTok at the Peaches Family, the sun just went away.
It feels so good.
My eyes.
You couldn't have done this 30 minutes ago.
It's not long. Hurry up.
Tiffany is on Instagram and sometimes TikTok at tipswish_flick when she's feeling like it.
And it's super big shout out to Main Street Kent.
Yes.
Shout out to Wizardly Weekend. I'm wearing Heather the first
Robin,
shirt ever.
Heather, Robin, and Kelly, thank you so much.
Yeah,
for all
thank you.
Yes.
I'm wearing the shirt from 2016 when we were. We've gone to almost every single one.
You're one for the release of Cursed Child at midnight.
And it just keeps getting better, and it's still more fun, and like it feels like a mini con to me, and I love it. So
yeah.
Thank you guys for being here.
So shout out to all of them for all the work that they put in this weekend. It's so much fun.
As well as our village that we had to come and help with us. I think this is the least amount of stress we have felt planning for an event and coming here. And if you've traveled to come and see us, because we know a lot of you have, like, thank you so much. And we're so happy to have you here. And I just appreciate you so much. And our crew over there, our whiz kids, helping us set up, running our purple tent over there, making our online platform just so much fun. I can't say thank you enough.
Hold on. Shout out to B Kirk 2006 over there, too.
Good. Look at it. Look at that.
Yeah. It really is the reason why Swish even started. So thank you.
That's the man behind it all. Shell Cottage Radio. That's another podcast you can go listen to. Shell Cottage Radio. Bill and Flora. Look at
this. Wow, he wants to crawl in a hole.
I love you. All right. Honestly, once again, thank you, Main Street Kent, Wizardly World of Kent. We love that you keep having us back for these events. And
Come say hi at our booth.
Yep, we'll be there. We'll be walking around. I know I need to shop, so I can't wait to do that. So once again, my audience, I'm going to need you to cheer after I read this sentence, but I hope you're ready. That concludes our episode for Wizardly World of Kent 2024! Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just in my voice!
So on our podcast that we do weekly, we are currently breaking down Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. So we thought that it fit quite well for us to talk about the Tale of the Three Brothers today.
It's just a little depressing.
It's
all right. It's fine. A little. Real quick, we got Gryffindors.
Woo!
Slytherins.
Woo!
I think the Ravenclaws.
Woo! You nerds would be here.
Okay, but best house Hufflepuff.
Oh man!
Yeah.
I accept you.
That's acceptable.
I love it. Yes. Ron Weasley? I know it. Let's see the hair.
Should we move that tree?
Yeah, we could do that so that the people over there can see us.
Just rearranging the entire Forbidden Forest.
Carrie.
What do I need to do?
Yeah, what do you need him for? You just wanted them to move the tree.
Yes.
You popped off its eye.
To be fair,
the sun already melted away like two of them.
It's mad Eye
Moody.
It's mad Eye
Moody's
eye.
Wait, what would mad Eye Moody's name be if it was a tree?
Trudy.
Do you want video?
No, it doesn't have to be video.
Okay.
Mad Eye Trudy.
Can you pull audio from a video?
Yeah.
We hardly knew you.
I'll just record a video and put my phone on the ground and see what happens.
Aw, I'm not gonna see you guys now.
Carrie, we don't pay you enough.
Hi. You don't pay me at all. In the shade. Brilliant. Brilliant.
You're not supposed to tell the people.
Not even true.
Yes,
so
it
many eyeballs back here.
So many eyeballs. Who are you, Umbridge?
They're trying to put them back.
Okay.
I love eyes.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, I hope you're ready for this, because we are. We're only 6 minutes late, which is really good for us.
That's crazy good for us. Should we just BS for another, like, 15 minutes?
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
Digestives was a hot topic the other night.
Apples.
Apples?
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah, we talked about what every other kind of apple was.
No, what Harry Potter would be if he's an
what,
apple.
Which
apple Harry would be?
Yeah.
And then she had a Red Delicious, and we all went, "Ick!"
Red Delicious is terrible.
We determined Harry is a pink lady.
We all know what kind of apple Draco would be.
Yes, that's true. Draco did tell us.
What?
Granny Smith?
Yeah.
Granny Smith?
Scream? Slytherin? It is hot, but let's get started.
It is hot.
All right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.